Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in to the Take Command podcast. I'm Craig Hoffman. He is Logan Paulson, and we are in full offseason mode. Logan, we're the mailbag questions. A little thin this week, guys. Let's get those questions in. Now's the time to get the really fun ones in because we got nothing pressing, hopefully, outside of a potential Terry McLaurin contract whenever that comes in. And we got that over the next couple of weeks. But other than that, no real pressing news. So it's a fun time of year in the calendar to do podcasts on whatever it is that we so please. And really, frankly, whatever it is you so please. And so that's where we are here on a mailbag edition of the show. We're also going to tackle our top position groups in the NFC East, which is an annual show that we do. We'll rank the quarterbacks, we'll rank the running backs all the way down on offense, then do a defense episode as well. So those are coming over the next couple of weeks as well. We start today, though, on a mailbag show, Logan, with a question from Giles with a J. Giles Robinson, spelled with a J. Kind of like that. He goes, love the podcast. Question for you and Logan. There has been so much talk about what a sophomore season regression might look like for JD5, but this kid has shown such tremendous work ethic and capability to learn and improve. Why are we not talking about what the season looks like if he progresses in a meaningful way? This is what I expect. Wondering what you think that scenario looks like. Thanks, Giles. I think this question is really fascinating, Logan, because one, for a guy who played at a top five MVP kind of level last year, what does improvement realistically look like? Like, what are the areas where he can improve? And if he does that, what's the offense look like?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think the reason people talk about the regression quite a bit is because it historically that seems like a more quote-unquote likely scenario. And the other thing, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and at some point I want to bring up, is he might play better and the team plays worse. And it feels like a regression. So I think that's the other thing too, is like, I think you might see a regression in terms of some of his base statistics. Like, I think completion percentage, I would assume, probably goes down a little bit this next year. Maybe turnovers goes up, who knows. But in terms of him getting better, areas for him to get better, I think that's the thing that becomes really tough about the question, because he did play so well last year. He made excellent decisions. His footwork's excellent. He's getting the ball out of his hands quickly. And so if I were to point to one thing, one area of the offense in general, and this is probably outside of his control because Cliff is calling it, and this is maybe a larger perspective on the offensive improvement, right, is the kind of the throws between the 12 and 18-yard area of the field. Specifically over the middle of the field. I think if this offense is to take the next step, I think that's an area you really have to see it grow. I think, you know, they're really good at the quick game. They're really good with the RPOs. They're really good at the pre-snap kind of reads and dinks and dunks, all that kind of stuff. But for the offense to kind of be full in a way that I think will allow him to continue to grow, I think it's that middle area of the field that needs to develop. And that's an area where it's like you got to develop a lot of confidence with your receivers. You got to see that those throws really well. So I think that if I was going to pinpoint one thing where I think, like, if he improves, that's an area he can improve in. And that's an area where the offense in general can improve in. That's the one I would click to. And if you can do that, I think it makes you just so much more devastating. And I don't know exactly how they get to it. Is it off play action pass? Is it off, you know, the three-step or five-step work from the gun? Like, I don't know exactly how you get there and what he feels most comfortable with, but that's kind of what I'd zone in on for in terms of answering this question.
So let me just ask you a kind of a wider football question, because there are a lot of folks, I think, in football media that are smart people who kind of obsess over that area of the field.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, if you're not hitting deep digs at 15 yards, then you're not a real NFL quarterback. And it's like, well, like you can, there's different ways to skin a cat here. Like let's relax a little bit on the idea that you have to do it that way. Otherwise you're somehow lesser than, and like, you know, these touchdowns down the outside or count for 5 points instead of six or something, like the way some of these guys talk about it. So why is that area of the field so important that so many smart people think it's kind of the key or the highest level of quarterbacking?
Yeah, I think it's really important because I think when you look at throws outside the numbers, there's less variables there, right? It's like if you think about in cover three and you're throwing a go, you're dealing with a corner, right? So I am seeing a corner and I'm making a throw there, right? If I'm throwing a comeback, I'm seeing with a corner and maybe a hook player or a flat player, and I got to kind of navigate and throw that. If I really want to open up the field and stress the defense, not only in terms of we're talking levels here, but think about it, the ball moving towards the hashes, towards the middle of the field. If I really want to stress every ounce of the defense across that, what is it, 56 yards that they, in terms of width of the field, I have to be able to work the middle of the field, right? And I think the other thing about those throws outside the hash is they tend to be a little bit lower percentage, right? Goes, like everyone loves throwing a fade, but they are a low percentage throw. Those deep comebacks are very tough to throw. Like you need a big arm, need a really dynamic kind of laser beam getting out there. So in terms of like increasing offensive efficiency, if I got a quarterback that can work the middle of the field, work that kind of, 12 to 18 yard area of the field, like that's become such a more difficult offense to manage. I think you look at, and again, this is maybe by the data set is maybe biased here, but if you look at Tom Brady, look at Peyton Manning, look at Drew Brees, look at Lamar Jackson last year, look at Josh Allen up in Buffalo, like as their games have improved, that's the area of the field that has kind of come to light and really been a surface point or a flash point for the offenses. And again, there's a million ways to get there, right? There's a million ways to kind of attack that. Everyone does it a little bit differently. I think another great example is Jared Goff in Detroit. Like one of the things they did is they found creative ways to make it simple for him to attack those levels of the field. And he's a good quarterback. He did a great job of that. But that's one reason why I think Jalen Hurts is kind of in a different tier quarterback, right? Because he's never really develop that element of his game. So the offense always feels a little bit up and down. There's a little bit of variance there because he's always relying on these kind of big throws down the sideline to AJ Brown or the big post or the explosive play, these kind of shot plays down the field. And again, I think national media wise, when you watch the Philadelphia Eagles play, you do feel an element of streakiness to the pass game. And that was covered up last year because they ran the football so well. So for the offense to be better, it doesn't have to be that, but it's when you're just looking at a straight quote unquote deficiency or area where they can get better. That's one where you kind of say, okay, hey, this one seems the most straightforward. And if you want to see him kind of go from like a top 10 quarterback to a top 5 quarterback or a top 12 quarterback to a top 5 quarterback, like this is the area that I think needs to happen because it adds so much more diversity in terms of concepts, so much more stress in terms of what the defense has to defend. And so that's why I think people hone in on this is saying like it just makes your offense down to down more efficient, more difficult to deal with.
So in other words, like there's the second order effects of the defensive stress, but on a first order direct basis, it is a more efficient way to get a lot of yards. In other words, you get a higher percentage of completion percentage than your go balls, your perimeter, you know, deep comebacks for the same amount of yardage. And that is obviously a good way to move the ball down the field. And that's also, I think, how you ultimately close the gap between, say, what Lamar is doing statistically or Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes mm-hmm. and what Jaden did last year, because he was great. By no means am I saying he was anything, but he had 3,500 yards, 3,568 as the yardage total. And it's like, okay, well, if he's got that and the best guys in the league are doing 4,000, 4,500 yards, then obviously there's room to upward grow. Where is that yardage? And so I think the other area that to me gets to one of the answers of the question and would obviously, you know, we're subbing some yards for others here, but he still scrambles a little quickly, I think, or a little quicker than he will when he really gets to the peak of his powers, which is scary to think. Like, again, to be very clear, if Jaden Daniels never gets better and just plays at the level he did last year, the Commanders are going to be fine. They're going to win a lot of football games, and you could win a Super Bowl with the level of quarterbacking he played last year. That's crazy. Rookies aren't supposed to be able to do that.
Right.
But to the point, and to the question, like, what happens if he gets better? How does he get better? Pocket movement, for as great as he is at getting out of the pocket, little subtle moves within the pocket to find a little bit more space and be able to hit some of those balls that you're talking about that need an extra second to develop, or extra half second, extra quarter second to develop, or the ability to just hit a check down and get a guy in space. Like some of those little subtle things that can make life a little easier for him as a passer versus having to earn it as a runner. And maybe he scrambles for seven, but could he have slid up in the pocket and found Terry on a deep late, you know, breaker, or Debo breaking free in a scramble situation for 20? And so, you know, 7 yards is a scramble, especially if it's second and six, or God forbid, third and six. Excellent. 20 yards, better. And so that I think is the area that comes to mind for me, is from a purely inside the Jaden Daniels controllable bubble, the in-pocket movement, the intra-pocket movement, I think is the skill set that he is going to continue to develop and will take him to a next level. And by the way, same was true for Lamar, same was true for Josh, same was true for Mahomes. This is what happens from guys that are really good athletes that can do a lot of stuff on the move to becoming the top-flight quarterbacks they are in the league.
Yeah, 100%. And so I do think that's an element of that, you know, 12 to 18 yard passing game, right? Is understanding not only like how to shift and buy time in the pocket, but how to anticipate some of those throws, how to create space, how to throw to space, maybe is a better way to characterize that. And that's a really hard skill to teach. It's a really hard skill to learn. But I do think he's a guy, like in terms of the question, that a guy that if he can kind of, he seems like he studies enough, he seems like he preps enough, he seems like he's self-aware enough, that's an area that he can improve. And you do see some of that anticipation. You do see some of his leading receivers, the accuracy in the quick game and some of the stuff he did last year. And it's not like they never did it. Like there are examples of throws that where he did that last year. Like I think about the dig to Terry versus Arizona. It's a great throw over the middle of the field. There was one to Luke on the same drive where he's kind of breaking over the middle of the field in the seam. Like he did do stuff like that this season, no doubt about it. But I think just upping the frequency of it and then what that does to the offense. Because again, those deep digs, right? They get first downs, they're higher completion percentages, like all those things factor in. And then that, because again, and I think part of the reason like I've honed in on this specifically in conjunction with the pocket movement, like you mentioned, Craig, is because like he played so well last year. There's not a lot of areas to his game that can drastically improve. Like if you said, oh, can he get better at quick game? I'm like, maybe, but it's going to be really hard to find that inch there because he's already at like 90%. You know, can he get better in terms of decision-making as a scrambler? Like, probably, but like that was pretty efficient last year too. Can he get more efficient on the deep ball? Yeah, but like, are we being realistic with those expectations? So what's the area?
Yeah, I don't know how much better he can actually get as a deep ball thrower.
Yeah, 100%. And so that's where it kind of comes back to this thing where it's like, what's the area of the offense in general that is going to be the most important area to improve? And it feels like it's that area. Now, Cliff did a great job calling the offense last year without that. But I do think if you could find more chunk plays, right, over the middle of the field and that kind of yardage mark, it's going to make it easier. Like we've talked about this before in terms of like regressions and whatever. You know, it's hard to go on 18 play drives. It's very, very hard to do that. And they did that a bunch last year. So is there a way to limit some of that by finding some of these chunks? Yeah. Now, you don't want to go chasing this improvement at the detriment of stuff that you did well last year. That's 100% true, but I do think like this is the thing. This is the moment. This is the monolith, the obelisk that they need to figure out. And you know, watching some of the stuff they did in OTAs, watching some of the stuff in minicamp, obviously they're improving at it, but does that translate to the season would be the thing that I would kind of keep an eye on for the improvement. And if he does improve, like the answer is like you have a top three quarterback in the NFL. So you can right. do whatever you want.
Like, yeah, that big four becomes like, a big five. That's what happens.
I think we were talking about this before, but it's like if he improves, it's like I kind of laughed at the question when you first asked it in the production meeting, but I was like, we just become really good forever. Like as long as he's a quarterback here, like that's the result. You know what I mean? So if right. he does improve, great. Because like you said, like he played well enough to win a Super Bowl last year, right? Obviously the Eagles get you in the playoff game, but I think like people need to understand and appreciate like how, and I think that's why people talk about regression all the time. Like, he was so good last year. Part of me is like, where do you go? Like, how do you get better when that was the level of performance you had? And so that's why we're kind of feeling, I feel a nitpicky here talking about this stuff, but that's because it was so right. good last year.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Right. And but that's also the difference between being quarterback 5 and being one of those big 4, joining Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, and Jackson. As for what it means for the offense, you probably go from top 10 to top 6. Like, and I think the bigger question in terms of can the offense get into the top 5 is how efficient is the running game. But, you know, the O-line play is both pass protection and running. Like, that's probably a bigger factor than if Jaden were to improve. I mean, they're also related. Like, that's the other thing. It's like all this stuff is related, which brings us to one more question about the offense and Jaden and Cliff that I wanted to throw in this section real quick. This one's from Matt Logan. It says, "Hey, Craig, I got a question for you and Logan on Take Command." I should stop reading intros like that. It's like, no kidding. That's why we're reading the question. Everyone is talking about a potential, and I swear to God, this is not the same question, but it starts basically the same. Everyone is talking about a potential sophomore slump from Jaden, and you two have mentioned how defense has caught on to RG3 and our zone read offense after his rookie year. Cliff clearly brought innovation to the NFL last season with his use of tempo. So my question is, now that defensive coordinators have a year of tape, will they be able to scheme better against our high tempo offense next year? Or is tempo a viable tactic for the long term and potentially creating an NFL-wide trend going forward? Love the show. Matt.
Is it going to create an NFL-wide trend? I don't think so. But I do think it is one of those tools that become really difficult to manage. Like, so with the zone read, like, it's easy. You get on a chalkboard, you draw something up, you say, what is the zone read actually doing? It's basically saying we have to account for the quarterback. So how do we account for the quarterback? How do we make that decision hard for the quarterback? And now you watch any play in college football. Like, every defense has an excellent plan for zone read. They have an excellent plan for zone read. They have an excellent plan for RPO, and the plays become less effective. When you look at who was the OC head coach in Jacksonville last year? He was the head coach in
Peterson.
Peterson, right? He was one of the reasons that offense initially was so successful with the Eagles is because it was a RPO-based offense, and people did not have a good plan. But as defensive coordinators have gotten more familiar with it, they can figure it out. Are they going to have a tool or a solution to get themselves in better positions? Sure. But is tempo something you're always going to have to negotiate with as a defensive coordinator? Yeah, there's a reason that offenses get more efficient in 2 minutes, right? Because defenses get simpler, right? The offenses can keep a certain amount of complexity, and defenses have to get in some type of base call. And if your quarterback's good enough, they're going to figure it out. I don't know, and I'm not a smart enough guy. And there's probably some dude in a dark room for one of these teams that's like, thinking of all sorts of different ways to do it. I don't know, maybe you call two things from the sideline. You have a version of your hurry up kind of signal offense if you're a different team. Like, hey, we can get to these four coverages and these four pressures off of hand signals, and that's how we're going to deal with it. That would be problematic potentially, but that's also a ton of work for – it's kind of like when teams play triple – like college teams play triple option teams, right? You don't see it enough to have a solution for it, right? Everybody runs RPO. Everyone runs zone read. We're – to my knowledge, we're the number one tempo team in the NFL last year. The Commanders were, right? So does it behoove anybody who's not in our division to have a comprehensive plan for us? Probably not, right? Because it just takes so much time and so many man hours and so much sweat equity to have a decent plan for this. So will Philly have a solution? Probably. Do they need one because they played us so well last year? I don't know. Does New York figure something out? Maybe. But I think it's one of those things that is, it's kind of a core tenet of offensive football is tempo, going slow, going fast. There's different benefits to both, but it's just hard to negotiate because it forces you outside of your comfort zone in a way that those other things we do, that the other examples the question asks don't.
Right. So I have a couple of thoughts based off of the question and based off what you just said. And Quinn actually talked about this on Chris Long's show when he did the interview a couple weeks ago at this point. And he's like, we do it more than anyone else. And I like having that curveball. Like, I like being different. And so being different than everyone else is part of the thing here. Like, part of the reason some of the zone read or pick your trend of the last 40 years of offensive football, some of the reasons that those become less effective is exactly what you just said. Everybody else does them. And so all of a sudden RPO, like, okay, everyone's doing it. We're used to it. But the other thing is it's hard to do. Like, the reason that some of the teams can still do that stuff at a high level, like the Eagles still run a ton of RPO. It still works. Jalen Hurts is really good at it. Like, he will make the right read and the defense fundamentally is in a bind based off of that. But if you can shut that stuff down, the question becomes, is whatever the next counter is, are you good enough at that? Because every defensive decision opens up another hole. Like, ultimately, NFL defense is playing whack-a-mole. And you just have to hope that the quarterback isn't good enough to reach whatever, you know, mole pops up out of the ground. And that's kind of going back to the first thing that we talked about here. The problem for other teams is Jaden Daniels is amazing at whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You shut down the read option. You shut down the RPO. Okay, well, now we're just going to go quick game. Okay, you shut that down. Okay, well, now he's going to hit you over the top with the deep ball. Like, there's nothing he doesn't do well. And that fundamentally is the problem. Now you speed that process up. We're at a speed that he can handle from a decision-making standpoint, and that simplifies your defense. And that's why it's so devastating. Because defenses, even if you have four coverages and four calls, okay, fine. He'll learn the four. He'll understand. Cliff is also really smart.
Yeah.
And they'll get on the sideline in 5 minutes and figure out your stuff. And so that's the problem is, like, he, whatever club he needs to hit, he's got it in the bag. And at that point, it's just how long till he figures you out.
And this is a really interesting kind of philosophical football question. And it's the one of verbiage, like how you communicate your offense. And I do think, like, people, you know, I come from a very verbose background with Kyle and Sean, right? They used to love long play calls, telling everybody what to do, different formations, different adjustments. And it gets, and as an offensive coordinator, it gives you more control. But all of a sudden, when it's time to play fast or play with tempo, it's really challenging to modify that style of offense to fit a hurry-up environment. And so one of the things I think about Cliff is he's built this in a – I haven't talked to him, and I'd love to talk to him about this. Like, and it's something that I'm trying to, like, catch him in the hallway and be like, hey, man, like, you know, what are you thinking here? But, like, one of the things is, like, they've obviously constructed the offense where they can just get to a – I want to say it feels like they can get to about 90% of their offense through hurry-up, which is such a unique paradigm because most teams have a package. This is our hurry up. This is our 2 minute. This is our Apache, right? Like, kind of your hurry up, muddle huddle type deal. But this feels like you can get to so much diversity. So even though I said there's like a three package thing, but I can get to 3x1, I can get to 4x1, I can get to empty, I can get to heavy, all in the paradigm of the offense with whatever hand signal, verbiage, cue that they're using to get the formation in the play called at the line of scrimmage. And I think defensively, like, that's complicated. That's a structural thing that you've built into your offense. Like, so for example, I'm an OC at a high school, and I love when the head coach comes up to me and says, hey, man, we got to play faster. Because it seems like a simple solution. Oh, hey, well, we'll do this. But then you have to think of how to construct this offense that you've built and apply it to a hurry-up environment, hand signals, code words, changing code words every week.
Also personnel.
100%, man.
Like,
it becomes crazy
complicated. This is the benefit of the Commanders having guys like Eckler and Ertz and, you know, pick your receiver that can line up inside or outside, that can line up in the backfield or as split out, that can line up as a tight end or split out. Like, they have built a comprehensive ecosystem to do this, starting with the quarterback and the play caller, but then going down to all of these other things, which it also makes it very hard to replicate.
Yeah, and so I think that's ultimately what you come back to is like, yes, if this was the zone read, if I can explain zone read to you in 30 seconds, I can think of a solution in 5 minutes. If I can run my whole offense and hurry up, how do I hurry up my defense? Like, I can't do it. It's just too much diversity. It's too much flexibility. And plus, you got a quarterback who's a baller, man. He does a lot of good stuff at the line of scrimmage, which I think is something that we sleep on. We didn't talk about it at the beginning. But his ability at the line of scrimmage to kind of get in the right play, find the matchup that he wants, is devastating. And when you look at it, they're not going like 1,000 miles an hour. But what they're good at is getting the line of scrimmage, getting lined up, and forcing the defense to get a call in. And again, I can talk to some people around, you see if there's a solution, but there doesn't seem to be one that handles the diversity of the Commanders offense and the hurry up element. So I think there's a lot of teams that could handle the simplicity of a 2 minute, the simplicity of a straight hurry up, but I can't handle your whole offense in a hurry up situation, which is what they've apparently gotten to, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I'll tack on one other thing here. And like, we could probably do this for the rest of the show if we wanted to get in detail. We might lose some folks along the way because it can get real nitty gritty. But like, there's also other tactical things that they do that, again, work in conjunction with the hurry up, right? Like some of their splits, the way that they're wider and they like make the defense declare it. And it's like, okay, yeah, Fine. You have a couple extra calls in this week. The couple extra calls are useless because you're not going to run that against this formation. Right. And so there's certain things that they do with where Ertz lines up or how wide the receivers are. Some of those like wide double stack looks, like they will make you declare. And now Jaden's shooting fish in a barrel because he knows exactly what the defense is. And so it's the combination of the scheme, the personnel, and a quarterback who can do everything and is really freaking smart, communicates at a high level. And by the way, the last piece I'll say is Dan Quinn, a head coach who preaches all of that stuff at a really high level across both offense and defense, the communication piece. And that obviously has led to a whole lot of success in year one, and we'll see if they can repeat it in year two.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.